2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be looking today at the first 11 verses. So let's go ahead and read them. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us all in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ aboundeth in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation, or the comfort. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, and we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. We live in a troubled world, as we've already seen during our prayer time this morning. Sometimes people will ask, in fact, I've been asked this question many times, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to the little girls that are, you know, being hit by a car, and the troubles in Sudan? Why do bad things happen to people that are trying to be good? The primary answer to that, most of us would know, lies in the fact that sin has brought a curse to the world. Bad things like death and pain and sorrow and loss are the result of sin. God created a perfect world, and yet he gave man free will to choose to obey or disobey. We all know they made the wrong choice, and when they did, they yielded to the temptation of Satan, and Adam and Eve disobeyed God and plunged all creation into sin and the curse that followed. Jesus Christ, God the Son, took on him a human body in order to be able to pay for our sins. Additionally, during his earthly sufferings, he experienced the temptations and pains of life, so that he would be able then to comfort those who suffer. You know, that is a wonderful truth, that our Lord Jesus Christ knows what we go through. He knows the sorrows and heartaches we go through. We might say, well, he's never experienced the exact one I have. Well, he endured all types of sorrows and heartaches, and he went to the cross. That's something that I don't think any of us really fully grasp. When he hung there on that cross, it was not just the pain of the crucifixion. He bore all of the sins of mankind on him that day. And he endured all the heartache and sorrow and sadness and filthiness and wickedness of sin that day upon him as he paid for our debt. Paul here begins 2 Corinthians with three facts about comfort that we need to understand and experience and apply. They can be a real help to us. I hope you noticed that when we went through that, he spoke a lot about comfort. And we're going to look at that this morning. As we look at these three facts, the first fact is that God is the God of comfort. He's the God of comfort. And we saw that in verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. It's comforting for us, first of all, that God is the Father of Jesus Christ. He mentions that here for us intentionally. Why? Because Jesus Christ, being part of the triune God and with the Father and the Son, He was co-equal with God, and He understands our trials because He came to this earth as a human, and He endured the hardships that we go through. He's suffered as we have. I've mentioned this before, and I won't belabor it, but the illustration that Jim Berg gives of the extent of Christ's enduring of temptation is an illustration that I can't think of anything better. He illustrates a power supply that is coming from a hydro dam. Massive dams, and we don't have too many around here, but in America and other places in the world, they have massive dams, and the water that goes through those turbines that at the dams turns those turbines and with great power, and it puts out a tremendous amount of electricity as a result. And he said that if we touch electricity here, and our current's pretty powerful. If you touch that, you might not touch it again. But occasionally you'll get a little bit of a nip and it doesn't kill you. But he said that when Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil gave him all that he could. For 40 days, the devil tempted him. And finally, the devil's left having nothing more he could do. Now, I've never endured that kind of temptation where the devil just gave me his whole power to try to drive me down. Probably because I usually give in before then. But Jesus Christ stood strong. And Jim Berg said, it's like Jesus Christ holding on to the current that's coming out of that great generator that's just tremendous power and holding on it until it melted down the generator. He took it all and melted down the generator power. Jesus Christ, He may not have faced the individual little tiny temptations that we face today, but He's faced all kinds of temptation, every aspect of temptation. Temptation comes in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He endured it all. And He endured it to the ultimate extreme because He endured all of that for us. And the devil gave Him all that he could possibly give Him. You can be sure that the devil didn't hold back anything when he tried to tempt Christ. And yet Christ stood strong and endured it all. And so Jesus Christ is a comfort to us because He endured it all for us. Look with me over to Hebrews chapter 4. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to have you turn some verses, and I don't do this often enough, and I need to do it more often. Hebrews chapter 4, and look at verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, speaking of Christ, that passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It's put there in a negative terminology, but you can turn that around and say Jesus Christ endured everything, every kind of temptation we endure, and yet He was victorious. And that's an encouragement to us. That can be a comfort to us. Maybe you're going through some hard times. Maybe you're facing some temptations and you just say, it's so hard. I have a hard time resisting. Jesus Christ is there to help us. He can comfort us because He can say, I've been there, done that. I know it's not easy, but with my strength, you can do it. I was encouraged this morning as I was reading later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, familiar passage, verse number 9, when the Apostle Paul had verse number 8, Paul spoke to the Lord and he said, I besought the Lord thrice that He might take away this thorn in the flesh. In verse 9, he said, that he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God told Paul, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for you. You don't need anything more. My grace is that divine enablement. I will supply for you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, my power, my dynamite power is sufficient. Sufficient for you in your weakness. God said it's times when we're weak that he can be strong. I don't know about you, but I struggle at times when I feel confident and I feel I can handle this. And what do? I forget to pray. I forget to depend upon the Lord because I know how to do this. I've done this lots of times. I can do this. I'm okay with this. But you face something where you say, well, I just don't know what to do. I'm up against the wall. I don't have any idea. And then we cry out to God and God helps us. But God says, what I want is I want you to depend on me all the time and not depend on yourself at all. And so he gave Paul these problems. And as a result, he said, Paul, you've got to depend on me. And when you depend on me, I'll give you my strength. And Paul responded the way we should respond. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, I will rejoice that God has given me these problems to force me to come to God and depend upon him. So as we look at our issues today, whatever it is in your life that's your thorn, it may be sickness, it may be a burden, it may be a wayward child, it may be a financial issue, it may be a sickness, it may be something else, but it's a thorn in your flesh that is holding you down. And you cry out to God and God says, when you depend on me, I will give you strength. But when you depend on yourself, you'll fall on your face. And so Jesus Christ is a comfort to us. But we move on here in verse 3. He says he's also the Father of mercies. Our God is comforting because he's the Father of mercies. Mercy deals with pity and compassion. The word is used to express empathy with another person's conditions. When we see someone who's ill or crippled or handicapped in some way, this word describes trying to put ourselves in their situation and genuinely having pity upon them. Not just saying, oh, isn't that so bad? That's too bad. No, not that. But genuinely putting ourselves in that situation and saying, what if I was there? What if that was me? What if we just changed positions here and I was the one who was going through that? And so God is the God of mercies. He understands our problems and our troubles, and he has mercy and pity and compassion upon us. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. We need that verse. God is a good God. He's compassionate. He is full of mercy toward us. Psalm 86 verse 15 goes on and says, but thou, O Lord, art a God of full of compassions and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Our God is a God of compassion. And that is a great joy and a blessing. And so, when he says here that he's the God of all comfort, he's a comfort because he's the Father of Jesus. He's also a comfort because he's the Father of mercies. He cares about our needs. But he's also a comfort because he is the source of all comfort. When we think of the word comfort, as it's used there in verse number 3, it has several meanings. It's a word that is used in a broad variety of circumstances. But in the context here, it's pretty obvious that he's dealing with a specific aspect of it, and that is to console, to encourage, to strengthen by consolation and comfort. And so here, he's saying here, God is the God who will comfort you when you're having a hard time. He will comfort you when you're sick. He will comfort you when you're grieving. He will comfort you when you're in pain. He'll comfort you when you're in sorrow. He'll comfort you when you're having a hard time. He can comfort you in all of your situations and meet your needs and help you and guide you. He is a God of all comfort. All sorts of comfort in all circumstances. He is a God of comfort. To Israel, God made this statement back in Isaiah 66, verse 13. He says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so I will comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Humanly speaking, there's little comfort that is greater than a mother's comfort. Mothers have a way of comforting their children when they're hurting and feeling unwell or having a difficult time. We may remember in our own minds running to our mom and pouring out our woes to her, and she gives a hug and comforts and kisses, and we feel better. She is a person of comfort. And God uses that as an illustration. He says, in that same way, I comfort my people Israel. Because comfort and empathy and compassion and pity are qualities native to God's eternal nature, He's called a God of all comfort. Every genuine, lasting comfort is sourced in God. So today you may need comfort. You may need encouragement. You may need just, you may run to God and say, God, I just need a hug. I just feel, I need help, God. And God is there to comfort and strengthen. He's a God of all comfort. That brings us to the second fact, and that is that God is our comfort. He's not only a God of comfort, but He is our comfort. And we see in verse number 4, Paul starts out, who comforteth us in all our tribulation? God comforts us in our tribulation. Paul testified of God's comfort in his own life. He prepped his next words with the assurance that God was comforting him in his tribulations. For walking close to the Lord, we can say amen to that. Say, Lord, you do that. That is a blessing. God does comfort us. He, in comforting us, He prepares us for our trials. He encourages us during our trials. He sustains us through our trials. He enables us to look back and see the times when He has safely led us through the valley of the shadow of death. Over in Psalm 23, that familiar passage, we get down to verse number 4. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Note carefully in that verse, perhaps something you've not pondered, that David said, the Lord, his shepherd, led him through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say he led him into the valley of the shadow of death, and that was the end. He said he led him through. In the context, the shepherd was to protect his sheep and get them safely through that deep valley with the shadows where predators would hide. It was a valley of the shadow of death, because in those shadows, the lions and the wild, ferocious animals would hide, and the sheep would wander, walk through there, and they would pounce out on them unexpectedly. But the shepherd would guide his sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. If the shepherd always lost his sheep when they went through the valley of the shadow of death, he wouldn't have any sheep. But he said he took them through. And while this passage is often used to comfort those who lose loved ones, and that's a fine way of making some application, in context, I believe that God is primarily telling us that He is a comfort to us because He will bring us safely through the times that we are fearful of. Those hard times. He'll get them through us, through that. You know, maybe you're going through one of those dark times and there's shadows all around and you feel like the lion's going to jump out on you any moment and you're going through this deep, dark valley. It's fearful. God will take you through. He says, I am the good shepherd. I'll get you through the valley of the shadow of death. When I think of those kind of deep canyons like that, years ago when Melody and I were still in Bible college, we went on a special dating outing to a place called Wisconsin Dells. And it was a place where there's big, tall bluffs of rock that go way up, towering into the sky. And then there's these little channels. You can see where it was probably washed out by water during the flood. But these little channels deep down inside, and you could walk down these trails. And it was cold and damp down in there. Even though it was hot outside, it was cold and damp down in here because it's so deep down in and these narrow little channels. I can just kind of picture the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd trying to take his sheep through this dark, dungeony type of a valley to get them through to the other side. And the shepherd would have to go through, first of all, and check all the crevices with a lighted torch of some, fire torch of some sort to make sure that there was no wild beasts hiding in the crevices there before he would take his sheep through. He would protect them. And you know, God is like that. He is there to take us through and protect us and help us during those difficult times. God is a God of comfort. He is a God of comfort. And Paul said, I've been there. I've gone through these things. And God has comforted me. God often uses His Word to comfort us. And if you're going through a deep time right now and you feel like you're down in that valley and the shadows of death are around you and you're just afraid there's a predator going to jump out on you any moment and just that'll be the end of you, you need to spend more time in the Scriptures. You know, folks, we need this book. And we need to study it every day. I urge you to do that. Sometimes I'm tempted to just say, how many of you read your Bible this morning? But you know, that would embarrass you if you didn't. And I'm not here to embarrass. I'm here to challenge you. You need this book. This is our strength. This is our help. This is that which we can depend upon. God can help us. He can comfort us and encourage us and strengthen us through this book. You need to read the Bible every day. And it can feed your soul. It can help you and strengthen you. The book of Proverbs is so full of treasures, nuggets. If you'll read even 10 verses a day from the book of Proverbs, plus some other passages of maybe in the New Testament, it'll feed your soul. It'll strengthen you. God can comfort you. You need that. He gives us comfort through the Word of God. God may also use those whom He has comforted to comfort us. Paul said that God comforts us and others can comfort us as well. And you know, that's something we need to work more on. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few moments. But Paul knew what it was like to be down and in need. Verses 8 to 11, he was talking about the difficult times. He says there in verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you be ignorant of the trouble which came to us at Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul said when we were in Asia, we had some very, very, very bad times. Now, he doesn't tell us here exactly what that trouble was. He said, you folks know. And he had probably already told them in his preaching. He probably used it as illustrations. And so they knew exactly what Paul had gone through there in Asia. There's several things that could be on his mind at this time. David Guzik, in his commentary, he made this statement. He says there's five suggestions of these troubles. Number one is that it could have been the fighting with wild beasts in Ephesus that he mentions there in 1 Corinthians 15. That's a possibility. Can you imagine having to face the potential of fighting with a wild beast for entertainment of other people? The beast usually didn't lose. It was a fearful time. Obviously, Paul either avoided that or survived it, one of the two. Another time he says that he received 39 stripes from the Jews for his faith in Christ. I've never been beaten with a whip, certainly not 39 times. But Paul had endured that. And that whipping could be, many times was, lethal because of the cruelty of that whipping. Paul said, God saw us through that. It could be the riot that was in Ephesus. He mentions that in Acts 19. There was a huge riot, and they were wanting Paul's blood. And almost was the end. But God brought him through that. It's also possible, he says here, that it could be a particular persecution that faced him when he was at Troas, Acts chapter 20. Or maybe his physical malady. We don't know, but whatever it was, he said, it was so bad that I despaired even of life. And he didn't say just me, he said we. The people who were with him, his other companions, they were faced with the same thing. He said, it was not easy. We were so burdened, we weren't even sure we're going to make it out of this alive. But God saw us through. And he said, because of that, I can give comfort to others because I know what it's like to be comforted by God. God comforted us through that. And Paul said that God had delivered them and his companions so that they, from that great death, verse number 10. So God continued to deliver them, and he said he would continue to deliver them in the future. Paul was confident of this. So Paul had understood the comfort of God. Later in the book, Paul notes that the comfort that he got when he received word from Titus that the church there in Corinth was doing well again. The church in Corinth was up and down. They had a lot of problems. And Paul had to really scold them for some serious problems in 1 Corinthians. There was some moral issues, or really bad problems. And so they were having a lot of problems. And Paul really got on them pretty firmly. And he was concerned for the church. And some of them were angry with Paul. Some were upset. But so he sent Titus to check on them to see how things were going. And Titus came back and said, Paul, they're doing well. The guy's gotten right. Things are settled. All is going well. Things are improving. And Paul said, that was a great comfort to me. That was a great comfort to my soul. So Paul understood the comfort needed. Paul also acknowledged the comfort of knowing that many of the believers were praying for him. Look at verse number 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given unto, by many on our behalf. He said, I'm rejoicing. You're praying for me. We survived all those troubles, and God is helping us through all this. And that is a comfort to me. You know, that is something that all of us can do. We can all pray. If you know the Lord is your Savior, you can pray for others. And praying for fellow believers is very, very important. I hope you pray for each other. I certainly hope you pray for me. I need your prayers. I really do. I need wisdom each week in knowing what to prepare and how to prepare it and what to say and how to say it and how to handle this situation, how to handle that. I need your prayers. But you know, we also need to pray for each other. Pray for your family, absolutely. But pray for your brothers and sisters at church. Pray for each other that God would help us and meet the needs. Some are having burdens, some are struggling, some have problems, but we can pray for one another. It's important also that we let them know that we pray for them. What a blessing it is when somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, I've been praying for you. And I know deep down in my heart, they're a person of prayer, and I know they meant it. And that blesses my heart. I need that. That's an encouragement to me. And we need to share with others, listen, I'm praying for you. And I will keep praying for you. And obviously we don't want to say that if we're not intending to do it. But if we are, then we need to earnestly share that with others. But then he brings us to the last fact, and that is that God's comfort enables us to comfort others. Verses 4 to 7. Verse number 4, he says, who comforted us with all in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. He said, we can comfort others because God has comforted us. And so that is a great blessing. Those who experience comfort are able to share that comfort. You know, until God brings us through a trying time and gives us comfort, we really don't have much to say to somebody else that needs comfort. If there's a funeral and I go to the funeral and it maybe somebody's lost their parent, I can say, you know, my heart goes out to you. I'm sorry. But I can't really empathize totally because I've never lost a parent yet. That day's coming. But some of you have. And you could go to that funeral, you could talk to that person and put your arms around them and say, listen, I'll pray for you because I know what it's like. I know what it feels like. I know it hurts. I've been there, done that. I've experienced that. And we can show comfort. Now, we certainly ought to try to show comfort whatever we can, but God said here that, listen, when you go through hard times, it'll help you to be able to comfort others. He said here that the sufferings that he had suffered caused for the cause of Christ enabled him to comfort others. He viewed all of the sufferings as God's working in him so that he could comfort others. Verse number 6. So as we think about that, we do not enjoy going through trials. I don't know anybody that says, I can't wait till the next time I have a really big problem or get sick. No, we don't do that. That's foolish. We like to avoid that stuff. But if we are allowed to go through trials and we treat those trials as stepping stones instead of stumbling blocks, it'll enable us to comfort others. Just a couple of illustrations. No one can comfort a young mother who's had a miscarriage as well as another mother who says, I know what you're going through. I've had the same experience. I understand. No one can comfort a parent whose child has gone astray like another parent whom God has comforted during the similar experience. The most comforting person at a funeral is the one whom God comforted during the loss of his own loved ones. And so the times we go through that are struggling and hard times, we don't like them. We say, I don't want to go through more problems. I don't want to have that financial issue. I don't want to have this burden. I don't want to have this sickness. I don't want to have this pain. I just want to be free from that. Yeah, we all feel that way. But Paul said here, and he's teaching us from God's word, is when that happens, look at it from another perspective. God is showing me what it is like so that I'm going to be able to comfort others in the similar situations. And I look back over my life, I can see many different examples of things that I've gone through that have made me a more empathetic person. Because now I can say, I know what they're going through. I know what that's like. I've been there. It's not fun. I think maybe that's one of the reasons God allowed me to get COVID and give me a good old whack of it. So now I can say, I understand. Somebody says they get COVID, I think, oh, pity on them. God help them. That's no fun. Because it helps us to empathize. Otherwise, we can be less than sympathetic. But Paul hoped that the Corinthian believers would experience the same thing. As they partook of the sufferings, he was confident that God would help them to be able to comfort others as well. I wonder if you are looking for opportunities to share God's comfort with those who are burdened. You know, in our world today, there are a lot of hurting people. And yet we live in such a world that's like, we live in our own little bubbles. And you don't want to pop somebody else's bubble, so you stay away from them. But sometimes God wants us to just be observant. You see someone that looks like they're struggling, hurting, they're downhearted. You say, well, I don't even know them. It's okay. Go to them and say, you know, you look like you're discouraged today. Everything going okay? And they may open up. They may say, mind your own business. Well, they might, but many times they might just say, just having kind of a bad day. And it gives you an opportunity to just be a blessing to them. And even amongst us as Christians, do that. Help each other. Encourage each other. If you see somebody that's missing today, call them up and say, I missed you. I'm praying for you. Can I be an encouragement to you in some way? And try to be a blessing to them. Just be and look for opportunities to be a blessing. And your words will carry a much stronger impact if you're able to say, truthfully, I know what you're going through. I've been there, done that. I know. It's not easy. But God saw me through, and He'll see you through. You know, that is what we can share with others. And that's what we need to do to try to encourage others and cheer them up and lift them up. And there's a lot of hurting, sad people in our world, even some amongst our congregation. We need to cheer them up and help them through these difficult times. So look for opportunities this week for God to use you in some of the ways that you have been tried and shown God's grace during trials, and then express to them the encouragement that they need, knowing that God will help them through as God helped you through. You can be a help and a blessing. Okay? We need to work to help each other. If you're needing comfort, God is the God of comfort. He is the one who will help you through those trials. If you have experienced God's comfort, look for opportunities to share it with others and be an encouragement and help to them. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, that's where it's got to start. You can't comfort someone spiritually until you know the Lord personally. It's got to start there.